July 7th, 2016, it's the Watt from Pedro Show. from Pedro show. I'm in Pedro, but not with Brother Matt. He's still obligated to this trippy-ass schedule we got with his teaching. But I'm not exactly alone, man-alone mode, because via the wonders of brilliant people in Estonia who developed this Skype software, I think Microshite, I think that's how you say it, now owns. But anyway, we're much appreciated to be connected with Ben Christian from Mr. Susan. What part of England you guys in?
London.
South London.
Ah.
Is it at this present time, we're actually in Crystal Palace.
Is it anywhere near Brixton?
Yeah, very near. Yeah, just down the road.
Because I played maybe a year ago at the Windmill.
Was that in the Windmill?
Yeah.
Yeah, we were supposed to be playing there a few weeks ago, but I had a bit of a back trouble. And we had to cancel it at the last minute. So
a bit of a what?
I've got a prolapsed disc in my back, so it's just ready to pop out at the exact time.
We call them compressed. It's somehow you got an injury, you got a hurt.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
Those are. You know, I got a hurt behind my left shoulder blade, and it's getting better, but man, it's taking forever. And those kind of things, you feel them no matter where you put yourself.
Yeah, that's about right.
But we started the show off with practice tape, 1963, the third excerpt I played now, John Coltrane, Eric Dolphy, and then Miss Susan off their new album, a tune called Muffin Fish Beard. Christian, let's start with you, since Ben's already bogarted enough spiel time. What's your earliest music memory?
Bonsoir. My earliest music memory is 2468 Motorway by Tom Robinson being played by my dad at home.
I had that 45.
And it was around the time of Rock Against Racism, because I'm knocking on now. I'm 44. And we lived around the corner from Victoria Park where Rock Against Racism was being held. And
there was a US version.
I remember being chucked on the back of a flatbed truck. I was chucked on the back of a truck as a child. And surrounded by men with massive papier-mâché heads, and that's all I can remember.
Papier-mâché? Okay.
Yeah.
So, that ain't too bad of an experience.
That's a great experience. Good way to start, isn't it?
Yeah, because I've heard a lot of more horror stories than that being used for certain things as a young person. But there was a U.S. version of Rock Against Racism. Minutemen did a gig. In fact, there's a picture of it. And if you open up Double Nickels on the Dime, where these news people are filming a lady with a mohawk. They turn their cameras from us, so you can see me turning up the amp, and it's right in front of the Federal Building in West L.A. I think it was kind of affiliated with the England one was first, I know. But, it was kind of a tour, and I remember when they came through SoCal, they asked us to play.
When did you do yours?
So on the back of that truck, you heard music?
Yeah, well, I heard music first, but there was lots of music going around, and that tune by...
So what, they're playing music off the truck?
Was getting played left, right, and center, because... Yeah.
So there's a band on this truck, and this truck is driving around, and... Okay, that's...
Yeah.
Wow.
It's part of the procession, because there was a march that accompanied it.
Yeah.
And it marched past our house.
Oh, so it's like a demonstration.
Yeah. Okay. And it culminated in... it ended up at the festival in the park. So I used to live, when I was very small, next to Victoria Park in Hackney, London.
You know what? Second time I played in England was Brixton. Something called the Ace.
Yeah, the Ace is now the Electric.
Okay. And the first place was the day before it, on the other side of the river, 100 Club.
Yeah, that's a great
thing. Which has got some history, right, because of the Sex Pistols and... Yeah, the owner was really strange. He was telling me.
I saw a great gig there the other day. Do you know Piss Jeans?
Piss Gee.
Jeans? Have you ever heard of a band called Piss Jeans? They're on Sub Pop.
Oh, Piss Jeans.
Piss Jeans, as in piss. Like you pissed yourself.
Yeah.
They were
a little different than Stonewash, but kind of the same.
I played them on my show before.
I think they're from Philadelphia, right?
They are, yes.
Yeah, so it's Hunter Club still doing gigs.
Yeah.
Somebody told me in the old days it was Jazz Club. The real old days. Anyway.
It still is, but I think Ronnie Scott's Round the Corner is more and more jazz. Okay. And the Hunter Club have started to get quite a lot of interest in bands and a kind of big-ish bands doing album launches there and stuff. So I saw, what's that guy's name? My missus really likes him. I've forgotten his name. He was in a band called Dan Reed Network. That was it.
Okay.
My missus really likes Dan Reed Network, and he launched an album there about 2 weeks ago.
I'm glad it's still happening. Like I said, when I played there, the owner gave me this weird spiel, and the bouncer people, one of the guys showed me his NF card.
Oh dear.
I think it was just a weird time in history. But anyway, how did you get from the back of a truck with people with paper mache heads to bass?
It's interesting, actually, because I studied clarinet at school.
I got put on it for like 10 weeks, and they told me to stop. His name was Mr. Luna. He said, "Mr. Watt, you try hard, but we should stop wasting each other's time." You know.
Yeah, it's all about the umbrella, you know what I mean?
This was seventh grade, though. Okay, this is junior high, and I was crushed. I never took another music thing in school again. I did music only with D. Boone after school. So you're playing clarinet in school.
Yeah, and I was playing drums at the same time. And then when I left school, I guess 16, I was just, this is going to sound kind of, I mean, it's a little bit embarrassing. It's a bit of a guilty pleasure. But at the time, when I was 16, now you have to remember I was 16. I'm not 16 anymore. I was a fan of a gentleman called Mark King, who people may be familiar with. And I decided that I was going to teach myself to play bass like Mark King. I failed miserably.
Is that the level 42 guy? So it's kind of a funk, reggae.
Yeah. Obviously, I was crap at it. So I just, I've been playing ever since, and I've just become
noisy. What drove you towards him, towards bass guitar, and give up the drums and give up the clarinet?
You know when you find you start playing something and it just becomes you. That sounds quite poncy and pretentious, but you know what I mean. You get playing something.
I learned that word ponce in something called Wedgwood Room. What's it, Portsmouth? No, because this town. I'm born in Portsmouth, but Virginia. But there's the original one, of course, is where you guys are. And there was a picture of this band on the bulkhead, you know, and kind of frilly shirts and shit, and someone had written across the whole picture, Ponce. So I asked the boss at the gig there, what's the Ponce? he asked me to use my imagination. Obviously, it's... Yeah, okay. Yeah, so I don't think you sound like a Ponce. I'm just curious because in the old days, bass is like you got put on bass. You didn't choose it.
No, I chose it 100%. And I've never looked back. I've always only ever played bass. I do other stuff. I play other stuff, but I don't own anything other than basses at home. Okay. I've got too many of them, has to be said, but I haven't got any other musical instruments in my house.
Remember your first gig on bass? In front of people.
Yes. My first gig on bass in front of people was in the Joiners Arms in Southampton.
I played there.
Yeah, it was in St. Mary.
It used to be a whorehouse.
It was my first ever gig. I'd never done a gig before. Yeah. In the nicest part of town as well, which is where the football ground is, the soccer ground is now.
Okay.
So I've been going back there, actually, and trying
What's
to check
his name,
out...
What's Ricky? Okay.
I don't know.
Ricky?
I was 17 at the time. It was a long time ago.
Oh, okay. They got a young guy there now, I think, named Ricky. I'm pretty sure.
Possibly. It wouldn't surprise me.
Very cool people.
Yeah.
I played there twice now. And so what was it like? Was it a pants shitter? Or were you full on, cock sure or what? Was it scary?
It was fantastic because at that time I just got my first proper bass. I like to say proper bass, as opposed to the kind of, the Westones that were going around there. But I'd just been bought a Precision for my birthday.
Fender.
Yeah, and I loved it, and I took it down. It weighed a ton, but I took it down there with me on the train and played this gig. And for me, it was just all about, oh wow, I've got this great new bass, and oh, we're playing some Who songs. Oh, it's gonna be amazing.
Wow,
it was
John Entwistle.
You what?
John Entwistle.
Yeah, obviously I did my bit, but I wasn't playing any of the John Entwistle signature runs or anything like that. I was 17 years old.
No, he had a big influence on me. I mean, you could hear him on, actually you could hear a lot of the England guys on records. US rock records, it was hard to hear some bass. Alice Cooper I could hear, Blue Oyster Cult some more, but a lot of our stuff was more murky. Over there, they turned it up loud, man. Tony Visconti on Width of a Circle and Geezer Butler. Yeah. Even bands like Animals, Chaz Chandler and Kinks, Pete Quiff, you can hear the bass.
Yeah.
Wow.
You can. Okay, I think a lot of that actually is to do with the fact, if you think about how bass players play, a lot of them will just play in the same key and the same at the same point in the octave as the guitar, and it just gets lost. It makes it thicker, but actually you don't hear anything. You don't actually
Because of the composition.
You hear what the bass player's doing. Just part of them annoying. Yeah. So you think about
too much unison. Too much unison.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. What's, so you what, don't have any counter. You don't have any counterpoint.
What are you adding to it?
Well, you know, that's a good point, because the bass I could hear really easy in U.S. music was R&B. Mm. There's a lot of counterpoint between the guitar and the bass. Also, tonally, more trebly, and big, fat bottom, James Jamerson. He's a big influence on me. Okay. Can we go over to, let's play this Certain Uncertain. Definitely, you were not uncertain about bass, Christian.
No, so this obviously song not. Is
for you.
Sake, the Golden Zone is not organic.
It's funny, you know.
I am
touch my rabbit's foot and pray, touching wood like all the rest. Help is on the way, help is on the way. The women and children say, and let me see life first. Help is on the way, help is on the way. Ringing half an hour ago, they said, help is on the way. Touch my dad, bitch, foot and pray, touch.
Tear me apart.
watch my life go out. And on this hard, long road that we shall walk on, I was bound to cut you. I'd have my way. Now it's cold and lonely, we have grown up. Throw it all away, throw it all away. Oh, lover on the town, ain't got enough to go around. Hang your head. Gonna be too soon. And on this hard, long road that we shall walk on, I was bound to get you. I had my way. Now it's cold and lonely, we have grown up. Throw it all away, throw it all.
parents won't even spank their children?
Watford Pedro Show started that chunk of music off with brand new Mr. Susan, Certain / Uncertain. And then that's from their new album. And then from my, I found all my old Lemon Kitten records. And do you know about these cats? They're from the late 70s, early 80s. I think Friends of Genesis, Peoria.
No, I've heard them on your show, but that's, yeah. That's
I think they turned into shock-headed Peters. And then the lady went on her own, Danielle Dax or something.
Yeah.
Anyway. Wrist Job / Once Green and Pleasant Land. Yeah, I love these records. See, this is my idea of punk. It's whatever. And Lemon Kitten's totally manifested that in my mind. Yeah, I never thought it was... I thought the styles of music was up to each band. The movement, to me, was more than a genre, you know. Anyway, Night Auditor, Higher After That, Lanny and Mercil, Ghoul Sabu Badash Ahmad, and that's this guy Lanny goes over to Afghanistan and does music with kids there, which is pretty happening. Postcards from Jeff after that, Suburban Girl, I think this is York, same with King Harvest and Wait with Rhodes. Then Mr. Tom and Tobacco, he's out of Pittsburgh, with Suck Viper, brand new from him, A Very Be Careful from Here. But their people are from Colombia, so they do this kind of accordion, vallenata, that's the stuff. I got to play with them a couple weeks ago. Las Sabanas, and MIDI Sounds Frontiers by a pretty intense bass man, Christian. This guy goes under the name Square Pusher, and he did...
I know him.
He's the like you know, Flea turned me on to him. That's one of his favorite bassmen, and this guy's kind of a one man band.
Yeah, Tom Jenkinson, his real name is.
Oh, okay.
He's from Essex. He's from Chelmsford in Essex.
Essex. So yeah. That's where did I play in Essex last tour? Lambsgate.
That's in Kent, Mike.
Oh, that's Kent.
It's the other side of the water.
Oh, it's the other side. Okay, I'm fucked up, sorry. Thanks for learning me. I thought Ramsgate was there. It was an old port town. It's kind of tiny, but it was really neat. Really neat. Yeah. I want to go back there and play. I think Adrian Sherwood lives there. Toys That Kill, 4th Street, from their new album. I got to play with them last night in K-Town here. Guy who moved from Torrance to Pedro and quit professional skating to run Recess Records, his own label, and Toys That Kill's band. Okay, Ben, what's your earliest musical memory?
It probably would just be my dad playing loads and loads of records. He had quite a ridiculous, ridiculously large collection of vinyl.
Okay.
And, pretty much everything from sort of early sort of 60s sort of ska and blue beat right through to sort of, rhythm and blues and then prog stuff and then, you know, later stuff. He was always buying music, so it probably would have just been my dad playing music. And I knew it was, like, something important because when you're very small, you're not allowed to touch the record player. So I just knew it was something really important. It was a big deal in my house.
He didn't want you to scratch your records.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. It was, you know, hold it around the edge, you know.
Sure,
be careful,
sure.
You know. And he always had a good stereo as well. So,
now,
you know,
D. Boone at his pad, it was completely opposite. He didn't even use covers. These motherfuckers are on the hardwood floor, you know, grape juice. You'd have to put like 3 or 4 quarters on the stylus to keep it from skipping. So it's music in the house. Your pop's a music fan.
A massive fan, yeah.
What's the first record you bought yourself?
The first record I can remember buying, I was thinking about this the other day, it was, I think I got given like one of these record tokens when they used to exist, and it was a Bad Manners
album. How did you get it?
It was a birthday present. Someone gave me like a, it's just like a voucher that would come in a card.
Understood. Yeah. We would call it a gift card or some shit.
Yeah, gift card, same sort of thing. It was a Bad Manners album, and
I remember them. Buster Blood Vessel.
That's the
big man,
yeah.
Big man.
Yeah, big dude. I seem to remember like seeing him on telly or something like that, and
kind of one scar. Of us.
Yeah, scar. Yeah, pretty much. I remember that age. I was probably only about 5 or 6, but I really liked sort of Bad Manners and Madness and things.
Yeah, that was big in SoCal. In fact, Fishbone comes out of that scene.
Yeah.
Interesting. So what about you connecting with making music yourself?
Well, it took me quite a while. I always loved music, and I sort of was always really into buying music and listening to music. And it wasn't really till I was about, 16, 17, something like that, that I actually got the motivation to want to play myself.
Yeah.
I think it was, to be honest, it was two things. I had, on an advert on the telly, I heard Crosstown Traffic by Jimi Hendrix. And I hadn't heard
great
it before.
Song.
And when I heard that, and I just, you know, spoke to my dad, and he was like, well, it's that weird vinyl over there with all the pictures of the naked 70s ladies. Because it had like this weird cover with all these naked 70s ladies on the front.
Yeah, sure.
And I just put that on.
That was also the name of his studio.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, it was a combination of that and probably. There was a Frank Zappa album called Overnight Sensation. There's got this really filthy distortion on a song called I'm the Slime that he starts with like a wah pedal, and it just sounded filthy. And everything I'd heard up until then was pretty, you know, 80s like popular music was pretty well overproduced and kind of shiny and cheesy. And then I heard that, and
ask you about somebody in those days, yep. That was pretty wild over where you are.
Yep.
Wilco Johnson. A band called Dr. Feelgood.
Yep. Yeah.
He was pretty wild. I think the guy in Gang of Four copied him.
He has some great moves as well on the stage. He's still doing it now, you know. I mean,
he beat cancer, right?
He actually thought he was going to die. They found that it wasn't cancer after all. It was something entirely different. And now he's fine. In fact, he's been playing. He's been playing constantly. I mean, and small venues and big venues. He's not really been picky about where he's been playing, but he played a venue that we played a few times, a New Cross Inn, which is a small venue in New Cross.
He probably just digs playing.
Yeah, exactly. Which is the right way to be.
Yeah, we're at the end of the first hour. July 7th, 2016 edition of Wapito Show. Special guest, Mr. Susan. Hold tight for hour two. July 7th, 2016. It's the second hour. Watch from Pedro Show.
I'm just the kind of guy that everybody seems to mind. When you're least expecting it, I'll sneak up from behind. I need all your attention now, I need it really bad. If you're doing slightly worse than me, I'm always really glad. You'll always hear me coming even in a crowded bar. You'll try to move away from me but won't get very far. Welcome to my world, that mindless popularity contest. So good in my world, that mindless popularity contest. I'm dying to impress you now, my favorite occupation. What you mean you have to leave? Your train is at the station. Stay right here and have a beer, don't ask about the wife. Listen while I boast about my fascinating life. My new girlfriend's expecting me, she's young and hot and Asian. Every time I talk to her it ends in litigation. It's getting late, I'm feeling great, you just want to get home. If I didn't take so many drugs I'd still be in the zone. Welcome to my world, that mindless popularity contest. So
did that. I want to go back. 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 I wanna go back to the city. I wanna go back to the city. I wanna go back to the city. Don't you wanna go? Take me back. Don't you wanna go? 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 Come on back. I wanna go back, I wanna go back, take me back, take me back, come on and take me back, I wanna go back, oh, take me back, oh, take me back. I wanna go back.
I got to go back.
Take me back.
I got to go.
Take me back. 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 Detroit City. Detroit City. Church City, I wanna go back. Church City, I wanna go back. Church City, ooh, I wanna go back.
Church City,
ooh, I wanna go back.
Church City,
ooh, I wanna go back.
Church City,
I wanna go back.
Church
City, I wanna go back.
Church
City, me
back.
I wanna go back. Take me back. Take me back. I wanna go back to Detroit City.
Someday I can say this song is not called Heroin. She's dedicated to Miriam. Miriam Methadrine.
Sometimes he feels just like Macbeth, thinks he owes some big kind of debt. So I took the kid down to the Harbor Inn, but the cops there, they wouldn't. Yet he's used to being turned away. He's gonna show them some fine day. I get so easily excited. Like having a party where you aren't invited. died from way too much too soon. Meanwhile, my friend Kevin still shooting at the moon. And one thing Lou said, that if princesses are besmirched, all the fallen knights don't know what it's worth. People, they will try to rip you off. Oh, but me, I just toss that off. And other people, they got good hearts. And it's a crying sin for them to be apart.
song about the place where the river catches on fire. If you stand up, look out at the city lights late at night, you can feel it whining like a great burning snake to meet the coldness and the mystery right at the edge of the beach. I took Annie down to Christie's Lounge, 'cause double solitaire's the only game in town. You know she planted a bomb in my pocket, turned on the ignition and the damn thing went off. I was standing on the ledge of the bridge, staring down into the water's edge. I thought about you as the water rolled away, but I don't know why I feel this way. Don't know why I feel this way. I don't know why I feel this way. I don't know. So easily excited. You know me, Mama, now. It's like having a party where you aren't
From Pedro Show, started the second hour off, brand new Mr. Susan popularity contest. Then Andre Williams, his new album, I Want to Go Back to Detroit City. Peter Laffner and Don Harvey, Amphetamine, Duo Decibel System, It Only Hurts, Festival Improv, Mike Grossman, Legless Bird, Lester Bangs and the Delinquents, and finally Rajas with Holden Pattern. They were on the bill last night. Yeah, the guy, you know, you come up to somebody, yeah, last time I talked to you, Mike White, it was 1991. But I could remember the venue. It was the San Francisco Paradise Lounge. I remembered it better than him, so, and I'm 59 in December. What was your first gig like, Ben?
My first gig, it was a shocker, and it was a pants shitter. It was like a jam night in like a place out in the sticks. So it was all these like older dudes that were really had their chops together playing blues, and we kind of rocked up and played our own stuff, and it didn't go down that well, as you can probably guess.
I've been in that situation.
You know, a lot of these jam.
You know
nights,
what we call those?
Yeah, a lot of these jam nights. They.
You know what we call Sorry? Those kind of gigs? We call them character builders.
Exactly. Yeah, that's exactly what it was. It's like these kind of jam nights usually end up being just a house band wanting to play with a couple of their mates some blues standards that they already know, sure. And there's never really any actual jamming going on at all. That's what I always find. It's a bit of a misnomer, that title. So, we didn't go down that well, to put it mildly. We weren't what they...
Okay, let's talk about Mr. Susan.
They were expecting.
Let's talk about Mr. Susan. How'd that get happening?
Well, originally it started, it all came together when we got a room. We got a regular room.
Practice pad?
Practice pad that we could use for ourselves every week, anytime we wanted. So I got together with Barry, who plays the drums.
Yeah.
And he bought a synth. And we'd never really messed about with that previously. I'd always been in bands that were just guitar, bass, drums. And he bought this sample pad as well, so he deserves a lot of credit for that, because we just then started messing about with samples. So at the time, it was just me and Barry, so it was just drums and guitar. So I thought, this time, we're just going to make like four or five songs.
What do you mean, drums and guitar? You said synthesizer.
And synthesizer, sorry, yeah. And synth and the sample pad, obviously. But we're going to
make it.
But
it was a duet. It was two cats. Yeah.
Yeah. And we played a few nights, and we decided that we really needed to get a bass player. And, you know,
Think about it. That poor, lonely, naked kick drum.
Exactly, yeah.
I gave you a chance to think about it there, Ben.
No, it's not right. It shouldn't be that lonely. I know, in fact, some of the jam nights and things that we did, I actually did pick up the bass a bit. I'm not a very good bass player, though, so I didn't persist with that.
How'd you meet Christian? How'd he get the band?
Well, we advertised. First of all, we Ian came on board with his solo synth.
Yeah.
And we sort of messed about with a couple of different lineups. We had a couple of different bass playing guitarists. We thought maybe we'd add a guitar. That didn't work. So we added the Silas in, and then we were just advertising and on this website, I think it's called Bandmix, and I kept seeing this, this big guy, and all his influences were kind of like the kind of thing we were after. It was like jazz, post rock, punk, what all these.
Napalm
Death, yeah. And I thought it was one of those things you have to pay for the thing. So I just put the laptop on one day, and there was a message from Christian. I thought, yeah, it's definitely meant to be. And he made the effort, a lot of effort, to learn all of the songs really well. And within the first practice, I knew straight away he was going to be the one for the band. So it wasn't even like, oh, this is an audition.
Ah, no tryout.
We'll give you a ring. It was just like, no, you're in the band. That's it,
That's bitching. Okay, we're going to play Uninvited Guest, even though this Christian was an invited guest.
They've come to ruin your party. Come to ruin your party today. My friends, they took a whiz on your carpet.
mind a silhouette staring at her perky breath and my life so clear, clear, I watch it turn into water. In my mind a silhouette staring at her perky breath and my life so clear, clear, I watch it turn into water. Staring at her perky breast and my life's so clear, clear, I watch her turn into water.
How much space do you need that you have to kill small creatures, almost like it's your divine right, to eliminate what threatens your profit? Did you ever stop to think that moderation is important in everything? You just have to let some of it go. The world could be destroyed by greed. You can't see the natural process in everything. Even those small creatures have a space. And when you engage my services, you seem to think that I owe you. But by your tips, I make my living. You just have to keep your wallet fat, so you criticize or just plain cut me. The waitress works hard in the restaurant. She does so much more than serve food. There's a whole operation for your atmosphere, the pleasant time you take for granted. Just where the hell do you get off not tipping? Their wages are low for a reason, to get you really cheap food. One thinks you would appreciate that, but you just take it for free and sit there wondering why the world doesn't revolve around you. Well, let me tell you, my friend, we deserve a little space, too.
Watt for Pedro show, uninvited guest, Mr. Susan Brandon, the metal man, Cosmic Ted. I found out they got a bass man from Comesia. Comesia is on an island called Vis, off Dalmatian coast, Croatia. And a lot of the Slavs and Pedro, they're from, so it's kind of a connection. I remember coming here from Virginia and looking at a map and seeing Yugoslavia and Pedro, and like, what the fuck? But it's all about people, like most things. Water from the Happies for those not willing to share, poem from Joe Brewer. And finally, Swarmer Bees, Sinatra 5 Edit. That's a new proj from, what was his name? Art Trip. Art Trip was actually Ed Marimba, right? And Kent Beefheart's band.
Yeah, he was in the Mothers as well.
And Mothers. Actually, I think he was with them first, with Frank Zappa first.
Yeah.
Quite a percussion drummer, man. Okay, so Mr. Susan was already doing gigs before Christian was in the band?
Yeah, we'd been playing for maybe about a year, but I'd say we were sort of experimenting with different lineups, and then just literally a couple of weeks before Christian joined, Ian, who plays xylophone for us, he's a big jazz cat. He's a jazz monster and can read music and all the kinds of things that us dunces can't do. he's arranged stuff for orchestras and things like that. So straight away he walked in wearing a suit, and I remember the guy that we had at the time that was playing bass for us said, "Oh, so what do you do for a living? Are you a teacher?" And he just looked at us and went, "I'm a musician." That's all in our place.
I remember when I first saw the Jam, they're at the Whiskey, and they all had little suits. In fact, almost the same suit, I think. It was really funny. I'd never really seen stuff like that before. A lot of the punk rockers had funny homemade clothes, but they had little suits. So was that what the cue for that bass man? He's, "I'm out of here because you're wearing a suit."
No, I think he just found out things that he was doing. I'm to this day, I'm not really quite sure what. But he didn't want to be in the band anymore, and so Chris came in, and we had studio time booked, so we went straight in and did the first EP.
That's bitching. Look, we're at the second hour, end of the second hour, July 7, 2016, Dish Wap Peter Show. Hold tight. Hour three. July 7, 2016, it's the third hour, Wap Pedro Show.
On the order paper, Chancellor of the Exchequer.
Madam Deputy Speaker, I beg to move the motion in the name of the...
Order. We're really not going to get anywhere this afternoon in this debate if members on both sides of the chamber continue to bawl at each other. It would be a very good idea if we could listen to the Chancellor and proceed with the debate. I'm sure he'll be generous in giving way, Chancellor of the Exchequer.
paces, go through the places, burn all the traces. We alone carry forth. We are two, so despite what you do, despite what you see, don't give up, we're gonna be free. I love.
back to mother, the letter in her hand. It's written by mother before she went to bed. Calling back to Martha with a shoestring heart. Martha, why don't you let your mother go to sleep? Martha, why don't you let your mother leave? Teardrops on the letter, Martha cried so hard. All that Martha knew of mother was erased with one word. Church bells in the distance, Martha tried to hear. Martha, why don't you let your mother go to sleep? Martha, why don't you let your mother be? Years later, the letter in her hand. She tried hard to read it, though she's never made the end. Calling back to Martha with a delicate hand. Martha, why don't you let your mother go to sleep? Martha, why don't you let your mother be? Martha, why don't you let your mother be?
Starting the third hour off with Broken from Mr. Susan. Laura Live of Spain had Josh on the show last. His sister Rachel's new Stuff the Ground, new from Papier Tigre, the Heebie Jeebies, the Freaks, the Fast Forward, finally Miles with Martha, not Miles Davis, just Miles from, I think, Rockport, Illinois. So the first thing you guys did was not a gig. You went in and recorded right away. With Christian,
I think you might play the gig first, mind you. Yeah, we did play. Yeah, we played a gig at the New Crossing first, and then it was straight into the studio, pretty much. You know, within a month of Chris being in the band.
Okay, what can you tell me about this new record? Because I have played some stuff from you guys before that has some of these tunes that were from gigs.
Oh yeah, from the live bootleg. Yeah, so there were probably four or five songs that we were originally going to just do like an EP, and then we found that by the time we'd got around to getting all the mixes done and all the rest of it, we had five more songs. So we just thought, right, we'll make an album of it.
Okay. And so that's...
It'll cost the same amount of money to, you know, release.
Sure. So some of these were from the days before Christian?
Maybe a couple, yeah, but most, I think the majority on this album, the majority of them are new songs, so.
And this is this is what you're playing at gigs?
Yeah.
And what was the process like? Was it like playing a gig in front of the mics, or was there a lot of overdubs?
Initially as a three-piece, it was me, Chris, and Barry just recording it as we would have done at the gigs. No real overdubbing, just recorded live. And then Ian's parts, because Ian's in Florence, so he sends his parts by email.
You mean Firenze, Italy?
Yeah. So he sends all of his basically layers and layers of stuff, which, God bless him, Alex, the guy who mixed it for us, has then got to separate all the wheat from the chaff, and we've got to stand around and argue about which bits we keep and which bits we don't.
You notice the side four of Double Nickels on the Dime, it's side chafe.
Oh, yeah.
That's the same idea, the wheat from the chaff.
Yeah.
It also means some kind of itch. Kind of a rat.
It does. Chafe, yeah.
Okay, so...
what happens in...
This knob guy, the editor man, he's a big component of this record then.
He is. He's a great guy, Alex. Yeah, he's Shrunken Head Studios in Nunhead, which is in South London. And he's a big enthusiast. I mean, he loves what we do, which makes a big difference. If you've got someone that really loves what you do, they're going to spend a bit of time on it, and they're going to, put some love into it.
Right, not the cursory. That means a big difference.
Yeah.
We're speaking of synth and Florence, and what's a synth gimp about?
Right, synth gimp is, it's a little swipe at your hypocritical big rock stars that have all the ideas about saving the planet, and they don't pay for their tax, or basically preach to all us little plebby people and say, like Bono clicking his fingers and saying, save the planet whilst living in Switzerland and not paying any tax.
Okay, so
that's what
it's kind of a critique. Okay, let's listen.
Trite song will raise a comparative pittance, ignores Africans, and has a logo implying the virus struck the entire continent. Patronising and perpetuating myths again, Band-Aid should have learned its lessons and stayed silent. Perhaps less colourfully, what would be your response to that?
Completely.
Violence.
to lend a big hand. Don't worry if their music's quite bland, just tell them what they need to understand. The money must go to the needy, not all unhappy and the greedy, or any corporate kind of mass pimp, or to me because he's a stiff gimp. They've really come to save the earth now, to ease the conscience of their rich pals. They took the world apart in taxes, they never ever pay their taxes. They've come to offer you a portion, there'll be no feedback or distortion. You better watch out for Madonna, in case she steals another orphan. 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 We'll be right back.
Watt for Peter Show, last music for this edition, Synth Gimp. You guys heard the backstory on that. So, yeah, a little bit of your imagination has been kind of compromised, but that, you know, why not get it from the cats who made it? Joe Bouchard with, Joe Bouchard with Dusty Old Piano. Joe Bouchard played bass in the Blue Oyster Cult. He was a big hero for me. Jake Rosenzweig with a piece called Janus. He's on tour right now playing this around. He's quite a motivated young man. Finally, Chinese Herbal Medicine with Winds in the Sun, the alternative mix. Yeah. Getting back to Mr. Susan. So, what about tour?
Right, well, my back injury has sort of put a bit of a stop to our fun at the moment. We have got some gigs lined up. We're actually in September playing with Ida Nielsen, which is Prince's bass lady.
Yeah, incredible. That's
at the Underworld in Camden. So we've had to sort of take a month or so off from gigging just so I can sort of recover from this injury. But as soon as we can get back on it, we will.
I heard that laying on the deck and doing stretches helps.
Yeah, I mean, I've had it for about 6 years. I've pretty much tried everything. I'm going to go have a game tomorrow. So it's been pretty.
It's the gift that keeps giving.
Pretty horrendous, really. Yeah. It's the sciatica that really hurts you. It is, yeah.
Now, is Ian more of like a recording partner? Does he come to England to do these gigs with you?
No, he comes over to do the gigs. He's a good lad. He via the amazing EasyJet budget airlines.
Sure.
He manages to get over for the gigs. You know, occasionally we'll play some as a three piece. Just to keep the prac and just to keep going.
Of course. What's it like? Yeah. It's a big hole in the music, right?
Well, yeah.
Cut your cloth, huh?
What's that?
Yeah. Different sets. We do change the material around.
So you play more trio oriented stuff when there's just three. Yeah. Okay, I understand.
It tends to be a lot rawer. Let's put it that way.
He's a jazz synthesizer player. Does he play stuff? Does he play piano?
He plays a vibraphone. A thing called Xylosynth, which is magical. You can just plug a laptop into it, and he's got some of the most incredible sounds. Things like Moogs and Mellotrons and
samples.
You know, yeah. So he can get any of these.
And he triggers them by playing mallets.
Yeah.
Does he use the two mallets per hand? I just did some gigs.
He's got that unusual system where he's got two.
Yeah, so you can make four. You can make four note chords. Me and my second man did some gigs with X and Don Bonebreak. He's really good on those. In fact, we brought him on stage to collaborate with us. Him doing that. Lionel Hampton was really good at that stuff. We just shortened it. We call it the vibes, but yeah, vibraphone. Also, at marimba, right? The wooden ones, the marimbas. They're very interesting. Yeah, a quarter of your band. Is
Italian. Yeah.
That makes things interesting because
I've been in bands previous to this one. Actually, now that I think about it, when you live in London, I mean, I've played in sort of Latin bands, Ecuadorian bands.
That's what it's about.
A lot of Italian guys actually here. That's something that people aren't really.
Everybody can learn from everybody.
I think people forget actually that. People forget that there is no such thing as an indigenous person.
Yeah, I think people get emotional.
It just doesn't exist.
They get emotional when it comes to these things, and they don't really think them through.
No, exactly.
I want to thank you guys so much for being on and wish you a bunch of success.
Thanks very much. It's been an honor to be on.
And please, new music, send it my way so I can play.
Definitely.
Okay. Christian Band, thank you much. Good people, July 7th, 2016 edition of the Watt from Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.